Right, I'm going to go straight in, and I'm not going to do any introductions or anything yet, but I am going to say you swam with a whale shark, and that is absolutely awesome. And you got a photo of it, and I'm starting there. So what was that experience like?
It was unreal. There is some footage of me. I don't know if you've seen my Instagram feed, but I put on the footage where you can actually get the audio of me seeing a whale shark of that size for the first time. And I literally shouted into my regulator, "Oh my God." because I just could not believe how big it actually was. I mean, it was getting on for the first one that I saw was around 15 meters.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's that the same size as, roughly? Like, if we thought we stood next to something.
Oh, gosh.
Is that like a bus, a big bus?
It's probably as long as a double-decker bus, at least.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's a thing that's alive, that's just swimming about.
Might be a little bit bigger, yeah, yeah. And actually, these girls that we saw, they were all females that we saw at Darwin Island. They were all pregnant, or they're thought to be pregnant, so they were huge. So normally when you see a whale shark, they're really quite slender. When you see them from the top, they're like a big long, they look like an exclamation mark without the dot at the bottom. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But these girls were so wide in their middle, and really deep. I mean, like, I was determined to get some like great footage for my Instagram feed. And I was so desperate to get it that I chased a whale shark. I chased her. And they go at they go so quickly. Like they look like they're not moving, or they're moving in slow motion, but they work hard. Like the one tail flick and you know it's gone,
really.
And yeah, and Jonathan Green, the guy that I was diving with, he's a Blue Planet contributor. He said watch out for the tails, because he said they might look like they're moving slowly, but it's like being hit by a mini at 20 miles an hour.
Gosh. Yeah. Wow.
So I chased this whale shark, and I was literally right up next to her gills, and her gills were nearly as tall as the gills, let's put it that way.
Oh wow. I mean, what sort of feelings do you experience when you're confronted with that? Because that's not everyday getting a Costa, is it? Or other Costa. You know what I mean? You don't do that every day, do you?
No, it's just awe, just absolute awe, yeah. And it was such a peaceful, the most beautiful, peaceful experience. It was like being, I would imagine it's like being in the presence of, I don't know, the Dalai Lama or the Pope or something.
Yeah.
It was really amazing. Just, yeah.
Maybe like spiritual, yeah, almost.
Yeah, completely. Oh, I mean, being underwater for me is it is spiritual. It's my, I call it my mindfulness, my yoga. Mm-hmm. Because you've got to be, with diving, you can't get distracted, because you're in an environment where you're reliant on a life support system, which is your scuba gear. And without that, you're gone. I mean, we were at depths of, I mean, if you're 30 meters down and you have a problem, that's not just a problem, that's a big problem. So you have to be so aware, and not just aware of yourself and what your equipment is doing and the life around you and how close you are to the reef or some rocks or how fast the current is going, but also you're responsible for your dive buddy. So you have to be really, really on it. You have to be completely aware. And it's just the best experience, really.
I did I did a scuba course when I was in Thailand back in 2001, years and years ago, and I'll never forget that. being out in the middle of the ocean, you can't see anything, and the guy says, yeah, we're going to dive here, and you're like, what? Here. and then you're down there and you're going, no, there's another world here. That, wow. Yeah. You know, and obviously,
completely.
You know, landlubbers are looking out thinking, I don't know, it's weird, you just don't imagine what's going on, and it's so unexplored and so beautiful and so untouched by humans in many ways, but obviously we're kind of causing havoc down there as well in other ways. So I suppose that leads us on to who you are, Zakia.
and what it is that you're doing.
what led you to that? What led you to explore the ocean in the ways that you have?
I got married in 2003, and my now ex-husband we went to the Maldives, and he'd got his paddy open water license when he was on vacation in the Maldives. And so he said, oh, you know, well, while we're here, you know, it'd be good if you got yours too. So I thought, yeah, great, we could dive together. So I went out and got down there, absolutely loved it. I literally was just like, oh my God, like it just, every single cell in my body just popped alive. You know, like there's like electricity in every single cell, I could feel it. And then I got my qualification and I thought, right, yeah, let's go and dive together. And it turns out that actually my ex didn't really enjoy diving.
Wow.
And so the whole time I was married, I think I did, including all my log dives in the Maldives when I qualified, I think I did 15 dives in 13 years.
Yeah.
And then I got divorced. And yeah. Then I decided, the year after I got divorced, I decided...
Because you didn't like diving.
Yeah. It's a pretty good excuse, let me tell you. What an idiot. Yeah, so the next year, the year after my liberation, let's say, I decided, right, this is my year to get back into diving and the things that I love. So I went and did an advanced paddy course in Sardinia. Don't dive in Sardinia, there's nothing there. It's just dead ocean, seriously. The Mediterranean is just a huge disappointment. Unless you go to some specific sites. It's been fished to death. And there's a lot of tuna farms and other sorts of fish farms around there that are not good for the environment, let's say. But yeah, so I got my advanced paddy, and then I counted up my dives for 12 months, and I logged, I think, 85 dives.
Wow.
In that one 12 month. And I thought, okay, well, this is good. I was enjoying myself. I was traveling the world. I was making new connections. It was great. But then I decided that I needed to give something back. So I was sharing a lot of my pictures on Instagram. And as I was sharing, you know, I was getting feedback and, you know, engaging in the dive with the dive community. And but what I was getting back, the feedback that I got from Instagram and the images that are being shared by other people was actually really quite attention grabbing in the fact that what I was seeing was beautiful but in absolute peril.
Right.
So I started to look into it, and I've always been fascinated by sharks. I was fascinated by sharks from the moment I saw one in the Maldives, and I was so shocked that actually it just looked at us and just swam away. And I had a chat with the divers afterwards, with the dive masters, and they said, well, what did you expect it to do? We're noisy, ungainly creatures floating about in the ocean where we don't belong. They don't want to come near us.
I was going to say, yeah, it's not full jaws, is it?
But that's just it. And then I realised how the myth of jaws has created a whole generation, like a huge generation of people who are terrified of this absolutely amazing creature.
Yeah.
That is actually, I mean, I call sharks the silent heroes. You know, they're always in the background and they're vilified, they're hated, but they are just, it's unbelievable to be in the presence of a shark when you're in the water. They're like not like any other fish. Shark's an octopus.
Yeah.
You know, that's my big, I love seeing both those creatures. I mean, all creatures in the ocean are amazing to see. Seahorses and things like this, they're amazing. Mola mola and all this sort of thing. But sharks just captured me. And I realized that the danger that they were in, and the more I found out, the more it kind of broke my heart, because that was my, you know, that was my safe zone. It was my place of serenity. But actually it was in so much danger. And I felt, I mean, the way I've described it to other people, it's almost like I had a calling, and I would imagine it's the same kind of calling that you would have if you wanted to be a priest or a, you know, you wanted to go off and go to the desert and be a hermit or something, I don't know. But do you know what I mean? It was really, there was a really like a spiritual kind of, I can't think of any other word for it really. It really was a calling to do something.
Is it like a transcendence almost?
Like an awakening, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you've got to do something. Like, you know, if you were walking in the street and you saw an old lady fall over, you would want to help.
Yes.
Right? Or if you saw a child being hurt or crying, you'd want to go and help that child. Right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That vulnerability, and that's what it was for me. It was the,
so that, I that saw feels the
vulnerability.
Wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, completely. Yeah. And I really felt like I needed to do something, but I didn't really know what I could do to help. So, I mean, I was sharing on Instagram, I was sharing stories and sharing, you know, information. And then I thought, well, you know, and then at the same time, there were the climate strikes on Fridays, and kids were, you know, taken to the streets, and they were genuinely, these kids are genuinely concerned about the world that we're leaving them. I mean, my own son has been upset recently by the fact that, you know, they're going to inherit a really damaged planet.
Yeah.
So what could I do? What could I do about it? You know, what was going to be my big idea to save the world? And that's how I came up with Mother Ocean Blue.
Yeah.
Mother Ocean Blue is an education package for students, young students, to learn about the planet and learn, but from an early age, you know, instill in them that they have the absolute ability to, and the power to change the world, and instill values that promote ocean protection and build awareness of human impact, and then hopefully create social change and with culture, mindset change for the next generation, because they're the ones that are going to take over the planet. So they need to be in the right headspace. Does that make sense?
It's makes total sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So my tagline that I use is, how can you fix the world unless you know how it works?
Ooh. Yeah. That makes sense.
On so many levels. Yeah. Because people don't know how ocean currents work. You know, it's never taught in schools. Why is it not taught in schools? Why is it not taught in schools that, yes, sea levels are going to rise and some houses will be underwater, but actually there's a bigger danger, because actually, you know, never mind the houses. If you take a perfectly balanced ocean and add a whole bunch more water, the salinity level goes down.
Right.
And that affects all sorts of other things. That's got a knock-on effect that is going to be even worse than coral bleaching. You know, and that nobody talks about it. Or I don't see that kind of chat in, like, education systems. And, like, you know, my boys, when they're doing geography homework and they're learning about polar ice caps melting and the problems of plastic in the ocean, that you're just scratching the surface.
Yeah. And I think that's a great analogy to a lot of our understanding that we're starting to get now, in that we are just scratching the surface. There's a book called The Uninhabitable Earth, by, I think it's David Wallace Wells, his name is, but yeah, that just shows you what we're heading towards, really, if we don't sort it out.
Buck up our ideas.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, what's exciting, actually, Chris, is that I've just been contacted just this week, actually, on Monday, contacted by a company who were weren't interested in the lesson plans, but what they were interested in is me turning those lesson plans into something that I could present to companies so that they could work on their corporate social responsibility.
Nice. Yeah.
So
yeah, because they're the innovators, aren't they? Because it won't come
for now.
Won't come from policy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it won't. No, it'll come from policy when the business asks for it, when the change makers ask for it.
Wow, that's really phenomenal. Yeah. So is that about kind of multimedia content that you're going to develop?
So, well, you know, the COVID story, isn't it? I'd got bookings to teach, you know, Girl Guides, Scouts. I got speaking events last year that all got cancelled. Mm-hmm. And so I've been investigating ways to move the program, to get it shifted, to get it in front of people. And I'm looking at now turning each lesson plan into modules.
Yeah.
So, for example, ocean awareness, the ocean awareness module. So you would learn about actually the different areas of the ocean. So the pelagic, benthic, coral, reef systems, currents and flows, and that sort of, you know, the all of the oceans, the world's oceans.
Yeah.
And what all the different terminology means. So I would turn that into, say, four modules to complete the ocean awareness part of the course, and then break down sort of the coral side of things down into, you know, biological information, what is a healthy coral versus damaged or dying coral, bleaching, pollutants, other issues, that sort of thing, and do that as say another four modules, and then you just work your way through, you know, global warming, ocean plastics, fishing, endangered animals, sharks, and how to be ocean positive. One of the really key things that I'm really quite excited to teach students is how to use their voice, how to grow their own knowledge base, keep up with developments, and then get involved with environmental charities and organizations, how to write a good letter to your MP, you know, real like actionable stuff. That's, I really want to get into that.
It's change making, isn't it? Activism in a way.
Teaching them how to be good activists.
Yes.
Now,
yeah.
I mean, I'm all for signing petitions and speaking up and writing to my MP and, you know, maybe even demonstrating. But what I don't like, and this might be slightly controversial, but I'm going to put it out there, I don't like the way Extinction Rebellion works.
Okay.
Don't like it because they were very disruptive and they got a lot of attention, but they didn't need to do that. You know, the science is there. You know, the science is backing you up. You don't need to go on an aeroplane and ruin everybody's holidays. You don't need to. I mean, I even heard that somebody chain themselves to David Attenborough's front door or something, front garden.
Wow.
You don't need to go and glue yourself to somewhere. You don't need to do that. You just need to speak on it.
You know?
I'm all for disruption and, you know, getting attention. But, you know, sometimes you're messing with the wrong people get impacted. Mm. And I don't think that's fair because they're probably on your side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's one thing to kind of, you know, create that disruption to get attention, but actually there's probably more creative ways to disrupt, and maybe it's those creative ways that actually would make more of a long-term difference rather than the short-term, noisy action that gets created. Because as you say, it doesn't always work in your favour, particularly when you've got, you know, I mean, that's probably a whole another podcast, but you know, the way that people are put into camps of for and against and all of that sort of stuff, there's probably, you know, better ways you can get more people on side, isn't there?
Absolutely.
And I suppose one way is through creating the kind of dialogue that you're creating with your work then, and, you know, doing it with through business and through other avenues like education and through, you know, multimedia. So I suppose where if people want to find you and look at what you're doing and maybe contact you about some of the things that you're up to, how would they best do that?
You can go to either the website motheroceanblue.com or at motheroceanblue on Twitter and on Instagram.
Mega.
I check my DMs daily on both those channels, and I'm open to questions and suggestions and requests. I don't know yet when the online modules will be available, but I'm working on them right now, and I'll probably roll out the first few modules while I'm working on the others, just to get it out there.
Yeah, definitely. If there's anything that I can share, or, you know, we can put into the circularity groups across our social media, if any of that helps amplify it, then obviously we'll do that as well.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Yeah, thank you.
Wicked.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, thank you for having a rattle. It's been ace.